our scripture reading, we turn to Numbers chapter 10. Begin reading at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets. And they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets. And ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets, over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord, your God. It came to pass on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. And they first took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. In the first place went the standard of the camp of the children of Judah according to their armies. And over his host was Nashon, the son of Amminadab. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Issachar was Nethaneel, the son of Zuar. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Zebulun was Eliab, the son of Helon. And the tabernacle was taken down. And the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari set forward bearing the tabernacle. And the standard of the camp of Reuben set forward according to their armies. And over his host was Eliezer, the son of Shedeur. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Simeon was Shelumiel, the son of Zerushaddai. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Gad was Eliasaph, the son of Duel. And the Kohathites set forward bearing the sanctuary. And the other did set up the tabernacle against they came. And the standard of the camp of the children of Ephraim set forward according to their armies. And over his host was Elishama, the son of Ammihud. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Manasseh was Gamaliel, the son of Peduzer. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Benjamin was Abidan, the son of Gideoni. And the standard of the camp of the children of Dan set forward, which was the rearward, which is the rear guard, of all the camps throughout their hosts. And over his host was Ahiezer, the son of Amishaddai. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Asher was Pagiel, the son of Akran. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Naphtali was Ahira, the son of Enan. Thus were the journeyings of the children of Israel, according to their armies, when they set forward. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come now with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And he said, Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. And then that's the last four verses here are the text that we consider. And they departed from the mount of the Lord, 3 days' journey. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. So far we read from God's holy and inspired word this morning. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we consider again this morning and, Lord willing, this afternoon a couple of the events from the Old Testament history of God's leading his people out of Egypt into the Promised Land. It is fascinating to study this history when we recognize it to be the revelation of God. And when we recognize that God guides us by His Spirit to consider the meaning of the events. That when we look to the Scriptures for an explanation as to why did this happen, as we look to the Psalms, as we look to the prophets, and we look to the New Testament, as we look at different parts of the Scripture to find an explanation of what is meant by this or that, and how is it that the principles still apply to today, then it is fascinating to consider the history. For we know, of course, it isn't the case that we fight in a battle with weapons, physical, material weapons anymore. We know it's not the case that we have the ark, the golden ark of the covenant in front of us that we can see. And that we don't have the cloud going up and leading us that we can see. Yet, it is the case, as we pointed out a week ago, that the Scriptures indicate that it still is true that the principle that applied to Israel then applies to us today. That it's still the case that God is going in front of us, leading us in the direction that we are to go. And we consider that, first of all, that as they are leaving Sinai now, we moved to another section. Now, before they were leaving Egypt, this time we consider how they're now leaving Mount Sinai, having been there about a year. This is after the second Passover that they leave Mount Sinai. And again, we read of God leading them. That it says in verse 33, they departed from the Mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them. in the 3 days' journey. So now, after they've made the tabernacle and the different things that went in the tabernacle, now they've got the Ark of the Covenant going before them. And when it lifted, they lifted it up, there was something that Moses said. The same words that we sang a moment ago. The first part of it we did. That whenever the ark would set forward, then Moses would say, "Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee." And then whenever it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel." So that's how they were led. They were led by the ark, and there was that statement that was made every time that the ark was lifted up and went forward, and every time that it was time to set it down. We take notice also that this passage speaks of that cloud again, now in connection with the ark. That there's a reference to that in verse 33. It says, "And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp." So that cloud, which we considered last week, was still with them, covering them. That it was upon them by day whenever they went out of the camp. So we consider again the significance of that, and then also looking at that in connection now with the ark. And finally, we take note of the fact that as they traveled, they not only had the ark, they not only had that covering of the cloud, but they had Moses with them. And out of his mouth, when they would hear this statement that came out of his mouth, God was using that to strengthen them, that they knew they had the servant of God, who was also a picture, that he pictured Christ. So that we see Christ leading the people when we think of the ark, when we think of the cloud, and also when we think of Moses being with them, speaking these words. In all these instances, we see how God was leading the people as they were leaving Mount Sinai. So we consider this passage under the theme, Israel leaving Sinai. We consider, first of all, the leading of the ark. Secondly, the covering of the cloud. And then thirdly, the voice of the mediator. First of all, with regard to the ark was one of the holy things that they made by the direction of God. The different things, the directions concerning the tabernacle and concerning all the things that went in the tabernacle was according to the pattern that God showed them, bringing out the importance with regard to worship of following the principles that God lays down. Principles that God teaches us not only in the New Testament but in the Old. And even though it's the case that all of those Old Testament ceremonies are fulfilled in Christ and in His perfect sacrifice, yet the principles concerning worship are taught also there in the Old Testament. And they were to follow the rule, the pattern that God set for them in everything, in how they fought. And that was illustrated by the way they marched. The way they left the camp was according to the Word of God. That God told them how they were to leave in a very orderly way. He told them about how the tabernacle was to be set up. He told them about the blowing of the alarms. That there was a different alarm for when they were supposed to. There was just a blowing of a trumpet when there was to be, the people were to be gathered together. And then the sounding of an alarm when they were to be moving forward. All of it directed by the Word of God. One of the things that was seen about the ark was it was distinguished from the other holy things. that it was the one that was to go in front of them. And of course, we know in the temple, the tabernacle, before it, that distinction was brought out in the fact that that Ark of the Covenant was in the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. And that leading of the Ark pointed to the idea that Christ leads the way. Christ is holy. His people are holy. But Christ is to be distinguished from all the others. He alone went ahead. That He alone went the way that the Lord had for Him and did what was necessary for the people's salvation. And He alone is the one who leads us throughout all of our life. Throughout all the history of the church, Christ leads. And in the presence of the Ark, we see the presence of God. We see the presence of Christ leading the way. We also see here, when we look at it in its context, that this testified to the fact that there was forgiveness with God. Because this was after the worshiping of the golden calf. And all of that history of how when Moses is going up to get the word of God and he comes down and he sees that they're worshiping the golden calf. And that God's wrath was kindled, and he said he was going to make of Moses a great nation and he was going to destroy them. Moses intercedes for the people with picturing Christ's intercession. And now we see some little more than a year later, after the leading of from Egypt, we see the Ark going in front of them, God being with them, leading the way, which pointed to the idea that there was forgiveness, even though they had sinned so grievously, even after God had shown them, though He had shown them how He was with them, how He brought them out of Egypt by a mighty hand, how He parted the Red Sea for them, though they had seen all these things, though God had been providing them with the manna in the wilderness and so on, yet that they had turned so quickly and had worshipped other gods. And yet, there was forgiveness with God. Christ was with them. And as they see the Ark going before them, that testified to the fact that there was forgiveness in Christ. And as the people of God asked for forgiveness, the Lord really did forgive them and continued to show them the way. That He led them meant that He would scatter their enemies. And that was brought out in the fact that it says that whenever the Ark was lifted up, the people were to think about God going before them and scattering their foes. Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. So that the idea that as God goes forward, that the enemies flee away. We read that was illustrated too in the parting of the Red Sea and later in the driving back of the Jordan, that was also supposed to pointed to that idea that as God goes forward, that the enemies flee away. That principle still applies. That God leads us means that as He goes before us, our enemies will flee from Him. If He's with us, we don't need to fear. Just as if you think of us physically walking like they were physically walking on a journey, if there was one in front that everybody was terrified of, and we're following the leader, and as we notice that, look, as we follow Him, as He goes in front, everybody's so terrified of Him that when He walks forward, the enemies just take off. So that all those enemies up there, we don't need to fear because of the one who's leading us, and the enemies will flee before him. That is the principle. We read of that in Psalm 68, for example, that we sang. At the very beginning of that psalm that we still sing today, Psalm 68 says, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God." Another illustration of that idea. You say, well, look what happens when you see fire near wax. Like if one would see it with a candle burning. You say, when there's fire there, what happens to the wax? The wax changes. You see the way the wax melts? Everybody knows, our children know that the wax melts. God says, well, that illustrates that the wicked before the presence of God, the way they melt, that's what happens when they are in the presence of God. Now, that the fact that we sing that means we still sing today the same words that were spoken when the ark went forward, meaning that the same thing that was happening then is happening now. Not only when we're singing Psalm 68, but as we are worshiping, as we are praising God, it is the case that our Lord goes before us and our enemies are scattered. That's the case in all aspects of our worship. As we sing psalms, as we proclaim the Word of God, which we do when we are singing, we're proclaiming the Word of God. Centrally, when we preach the Word of God, when we administer the sacraments and rightly explain what they mean, in all aspects of worship, we are proclaiming the Word of God. And when that Word goes forth, the enemies scatter at that Word. They do not want to hear that Word, and the enemies flee away. That also enemies that we cannot see, the devil and his demons, we're told how to fight them. It's the way Jesus fought them. Jesus fought them with the Word. He kept bringing up the Word of God, teaching us that that's how we, of whatever age we are to fight. And that when that Word is brought, when we are tempted and we bring up the Word of God, the enemies flee away. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And it very really is the case. When we proclaim the Word of God, we realize that those that don't want that Word of God, they flee away. But also, our enemies include our old man of sin and the way that we fight against our enemies. Our doubts, our fears, our sinful desires, we fight against them. We put them off and we put on the new man and we proclaim the Word of God that strengthens us in the new man, that we might throw off the old and do what is right. It is the case, still today, that God goes before us and our enemies are scattered. Then we read also of the statement that was made whenever it would stop. We read that when the ark went before them, there were times also when the ark stopped. It says, when it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel, that Israel had recently been numbered. And now it says about them, in fact, that's an occasion for the meaning of the name of the book, Numbers. We read of the numbering, the census that takes place right at the beginning of the book. And then now we read here that it says that whenever the ark rested, that they would say, "Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel." Now that is another aspect of having the ark with them. On the one hand, he drove out their foes, and on the other hand, he rested with them. And we can think of the distinction when we think of the men going out to war to drive away the enemies and coming back and resting with their families. Both aspects would be the calling of the husband and father. That he's got to put on, he's got to be girded for battle and to go forth in battle, because there are enemies out there that must be fought. And yet he's not always going to be out there fighting the battle that way, but also returning and resting with his wife and with his family. And so that those two ideas are brought out. That on the one hand, in the proclamation of the Word of God, there is the Word of God about warfare, about the enemies that are out there, pointing out what the enemies are and speaking against those enemies. But there is also the talking about communing with God. It is interesting that both of those aspects are very much an important part of worship. That on the one hand, there are those that don't want the negative things like are found in our confessions. The things where you're pointing out the enemies and you're exposing them, and then people that would hold to this or that view would be inclined to want to run away because they're being exposed. There are those that don't want that exposing happening. And yet that's an important part of the worship of God. But on the other hand, there can also be those that it seems that all that they want to do is do the exposing. And it's always about what other people are teaching that isn't true, and that we need to speak against this and we need to speak against that, and about this practice and this doctrine and that doctrine, without the central idea also of the fact that the proclamation of the Word of God, having God in our midst, means that we are getting to know God more. Resting with God, enjoying communion with Him, His completed work, and enjoying a foretaste of the communion that we have with God. Now these go together. Also, when we hear the enemies exposed, we're to think about what the truth is over against what that enemy is. We not only refute the errors, but we think, no, what's the truth that these people are denying? In fact, many times it happens that when we argue against an error, it makes us think about the truth that we otherwise wouldn't have even really thought about until we had to defend it. Until we recognize something's not right by what this person or that person is promoting. And as we start to explain what's wrong with it and showing out what's wrong from Scripture, we start thinking about the opposite more than we did before. And maybe we see things we didn't even really see the importance of it before. And we start learning about God. We start thinking more about God Himself personally being with us, teaching us about Himself, so that we are resting with God. That's what the Sabbath day is. The Sabbath day is a day of rest, and we all know and we teach our children that it means resting with God. Illustrated by that idea, the ark is with them. Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. That when the ark rested, that speaks of God resting, communing with His people. And we say to our children, now that's what the Sabbath day is about. And especially as they get older, and they can be easily inclined to just catch up on a lot of sleep. And we say, now that's not. The idea is not that we have a great magnitude of sleep on the Lord's day. Although we can sleep for a while, that's one thing. But it's one thing to have to get a little bit of sleep that we're rested, to be able to hear the word. It's another thing to spend a large portion of the day resting because we can't do other things. But we say it's not about physical rest; it's about resting with God. That's what it's about. It's about growing more to know God, thinking about Him, communing with Him, thinking about what the different passages teach us about God Himself, that He's talking to us about Himself. We learn about God in all of the different passages that we study. God wants us to learn about Him, to seek to learn about Him personally, which is brought out in the name Ark of the Covenant. Covenant. We say the covenant is fellowship with God, so that when we think of the ark, we're to think about communion, friendship, God talking to us, and us talking with Him. In addition to the leading of the ark, there was the covering of the cloud. And we mentioned that last time, but it appears again that it says that in verse 34, and the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. Now that brought out the fact that the cloud, when it was upon them, we brought out the fact that one of the ideas that was brought out by the cloud was the fact that they were protected. They were led in that there at the night there was light to show them. In the way of darkness, in the times of darkness, we see that there would be light there showing us the way so we could see. Also in the day that there was a protection from the heat. So that we are to think about how it was the case that God provided protection for them. That was an idea. Protection was found in that passage that we read. That passage again was in Isaiah. That speaks about the fact that it is still the case today that we have the cloud with us. That's the significance of this Isaiah passage, is that God was telling His people, the cloud's going to be with you. And He didn't mean that physical sign was going to come back, but that the reality to which it pointed was going to be there. Because it said in verse 4, Isaiah 4, verse 4, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion. And that makes us think about Christ and what He did to wash away our sins. And shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion. And that makes us think about the churches. And upon her assemblies, a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge and for a covert from storm and from rain. So we're to think with the cloud, the idea of God going before us and also of His protecting of us. Even as if one was to go out on a journey, one of the things one would be really concerned about is that heat, that sun. And all day long. And then the storms. And God said, there will be that heat. There will be those storms. But that the Lord was with them and that He would protect them. That cloud was there before, but now the cloud was connected with the ark. See, that's one thing that was different. Before, we talked about the cloud going before them. And now that they've made the tabernacle and the different furniture that went in it, now that cloud was connected with the Ark of the Covenant. And so when you wonder now, how did they know when they were supposed to lift the ark up? How did they know when they were supposed to let the ark down, that the priests did that? How were they supposed to know when to do that? Well, they knew how to do that by when the cloud moved. That's how they knew. And we read of that in Numbers 9. It's quite something to think of this, to think of what it was like for the people with how they were led, when we see the connection between the ark going before them now and now this cloud going before them, and that they were connected. In Numbers 9, verse 15, so just going back to the previous chapter, it made a reference to it. So that this is what their life was like as to when were they going to move. And they were going to know when to move and when to stop moving whenever God told them by the movement of the cloud. It says in Numbers 9, verse 15, on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. At even there was upon the tabernacle as it was the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. So now it was connected with that the ark and with the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. As long as the cloud was resting on the tabernacle right where they were, they would stay there. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. It may be that it would stay there a long time. Then they just stay there. And so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was when the cloud abode from even until the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. So it could happen at the daytime or at the nighttime. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, by the hand of Moses. Now that principle applies today. The idea of the cloud being with the tabernacle, and when the cloud moves, when God moves, the people move. The tabernacle is to move with it. That the ark was to move, and then the tabernacle would move with it, that principle still applies. And when we think of how God leads us and shows us when it is time to move, you could apply it in different ways. One of the things is, we know that when where we see the word preached faithfully, that's where we're supposed to be. And if the word is preached faithfully in a certain location for many years, then the people of God stay there. But if it was to happen that that place would no longer hold to the word of God, but the truth was to move on, then God's people would know that that was the indication that they were to up and move. And it may mean at some times that moving means moving physically too. That where they live there isn't the sound preaching of the gospel anymore, and that they have to physically move. Or at times of church reformation, that it's a group that moves, like happened in our own midst in 1924, and the forming of a new denomination. That the idea is, how do you know when you do that? When we see that the truth is no longer taught, when the truth concerning salvation by grace alone is not going to be tolerated, then we see things moving. And so we are to move. That is, if God moves, we move. We got to stay where He is. That was the idea when they see the cloud moving. It's like, well, if we stay here then, when God's going, what, are we going to stay here when He leaves? Obviously, if He's up and moving, He's telling us it's time to get up and move. And it may have been that there were times where they were in one place for a while. They were getting used to things in one place, and all of a sudden, at any time, day or night, up, time to move. Now, God says it's time. We got to move. This is the time to move. You can see the cloud. It's moving. Well, so it is also with the history of the church, that God protects His people. And He protects them from foes. And if there is a time when there is a need to move, that will be explained. So it wasn't our own forming of a denomination. It wasn't the case that it happened in a moment, but it was the case that there was a history involved where God's people had the issues explained to them so that God's people could see what was going on and they could understand what the issues were and be guided to see that it was time to move. And yeah, there were some that moved right away. Some may have gone for the wrong reason. There were certainly those that didn't go right away. And then as time went on, they started to realize that really, it was time to go. Because things, the truth had moved. Where the truth was soundly preached had moved. God guides us. And we are still to look to Him for that leading. That's the way God leads us, in such a way that is undeniable. And yet it's not visible to the eye of the body. Then they had something visible. Now we don't have something visible, but yet it's undeniable where we're to be because of the fact that that word goes forth and is clear. Just like the sound of a trumpet when they were supposed to hear the sound of an alarm and that indicated it was time to move. Well, that the sound of an alarm is a clear sound indicating that God is telling us that it's time to move. So the church is to sound the alarm when it is time to move. And indeed, in all battles, not only when there's a time of reformation where one group has to leave another group, but when issues arise and we have teachings that come to us, even if we stay intact as a denomination of churches, there are going to be issues that keep coming against us, and we have to look for God's guidance on how to attack them. And we have to trust that God will show us the way. That is found in this passage as well. When it says, when it says that the ark went in front of them, 3 days' journey. 3 days' journey is to the place where we'll read of, Lord willing, in the next chapter. It went before them 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. That he went in front of them to search out a resting place. So that as they thought, well, what's ahead? How are we going to know what's ahead? When we go ahead, there's going to be things that we're going to encounter that are new. So how are we going to know what to do when we encounter things that we haven't seen before? And God said, I will go in front of you to search out a resting place for you. So you don't need to fear, just follow my lead. And when I lead you into new territory, look to me to follow you, to lead you, and then you follow me. And the way that applies to today would be when issues arise in our family, in our church, in our churches, in the dealings in our schools, wherever we run into different issues, when we come into new territory, we're to think about looking to the Word to guide us. Going to the Word on different issues. The Word teaches us issues about church worship. If we're going to talk about church worship, we go to the Word. If there's things going on in worship, and we want to know, now what are we supposed to do with regard to this or that? The Scriptures have much to say about it. And as we dig into the Scriptures, we grow. In all areas, in every area of life, as we go to the Word, we will find that God will guide us. The danger is if we decide to go it on our own. That's the thing we have to watch out for. We decide we're going to go out on our own and we're going to decide how to do it. Deuteronomy 1 speaks of that. Where Deuteronomy 1 makes a reference to God's search, kind of goes over the history. The beginning of Deuteronomy kind of gives a summary of the whole history. And it points out how God searched out a resting place for them. In verse 33, we read that God went in the way before you to search out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night and so on. He went before you. The context there, where that same phrase appears, is the context is speaking about how they wanted to send out spies. They were going to go ahead. And then they took a look at things and they decided that, you know, we can't go in there. We've seen the big walls. We've seen the big men. We can't go in there. We'd be better back if we went toward Egypt. And God said here that they were rejecting. Their problem was they weren't believing in God. They were trusting their own judgment. When faced with opposition, they trusted their own judgment, their own ideas, rather than going to God and believing He would search out a resting place for them. They just needed to look to the Word of God to guide them. And finally, we read that when they went forward, they had Moses' words. We read that whenever the ark went up, whenever the cloud moved, and then when they would move the ark, they'd also hear Moses' voice saying these words. Which means that having Moses in their midst pointed out the idea that Christ was with them in Moses. That on the other one hand, we could say that Moses was a picture of Christ. That's right. He was. But that it means that it was the case that Christ, the Spirit of Christ, was in Moses. So it was Christ speaking. It was the Son of God speaking in and through Moses. And they had Moses as a living example of one who believed the Word of God. And who said, go forward. Don't reject the Word of God. Even in the midst of opposition, he called forth the people to believe that the Lord was with them. The Lord would guide them. The Lord would protect them. They didn't have anything to fear. That's what they heard. They would hear Moses' voice. And they would, in hearing his voice, they heard Christ telling them what to do. And in that way, that's the same way it is today. That the Spirit of Christ speaks through the proclamation of the Word. He speaks through His prophets. That God, throughout church history, has always raised up those who would lead in times of controversy, and the Spirit would speak through them. But also, all of God's people are prophets. And as we speak the Word of God, we hear Christ speaking in our midst, pointing out to us the way. That we hear examples of faith. And it is the calling of us all to be examples of going forward in faith, that others may see and follow. We're to imitate Him. We are to imitate what Moses did here. That as he called out when they got up and to battle, when he said, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered. And as we sing those same words, that means we are to see our calling to lead the people away in the right way, guiding them to think about the Lord going in front of us, that we don't have anything to fear. That the fathers in the home are to be fearless warriors, saying the Lord is going in front of us, we need not fear. Whatever we may face, if the Lord is with us, then we shouldn't be afraid of anything. Anything. I mean, we have to think. We can think about our own problems, and we can think over and over and over about our own problems and lose sight of God's promises. When they went out, they were going to have to fight people. They were going to go into a land they weren't familiar with. And there were people living there. It wasn't that they were just going to go into a land and find it all nice and ready for them, and they were just going to all settle down and nobody was going to bother them. There were going to be people coming out after them that wanted them dead. And they knew that their men were going to have to fight, their children were going to have to fight, their young men were going to have to fight. And yet they're told, yeah, that's true and all, that's true, but you don't need to be afraid. And one could easily say, don't be afraid. There are people there. There are big people there. They're going to be coming after us. There are cities with walls. So that's true. That's true. But God's with us. And then if we apply that to our own problems, our own difficulties that we face, we say, we don't need to fear. The Lord is with us. You say, well, how do you know? How do you know he's with him? You say, well, don't you hear his voice? We hear his voice. We know he's talking. We hear him. We know he's in our midst. We don't have any question about that. Well, if he's with us, then what are we afraid of? Why do we worry? We're protected. We're led. We're defended. We have communion with him. And if we have communion, if he rests with us, we have fellowship with God. That's life. That is life. Resting with God. And we can't lose that. The one thing that's important, we can't lose. And as we think on that, and as we meditate on that, believing the promise, believing what Christ did for us and what he's doing in us, we go forward in wherever the Lord leads us, trusting in him, singing his praises, and living to his glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we ask that thou would grant us the grace of thy Spirit. Teach us to follow thy leading. As thou dost guide us, as thou dost show us the way, and whatever our circumstances may be, as a church and churches, in our own family life, in our own life as believers, the different kinds of difficulties that we face, may we be led by thy Spirit always, trusting thee, looking to thy word as thou dost guide us and show light upon our path. Thy word is that lamp that shows us the way. Grant that we may be guided and learn and grow, that we may have peace resting in thee. Grant this grace to us and to all thy people, for Christ's sake. Amen.